Okay, we're on the Samach Dalet. I need everyone's attention, please. I need everyone's attention. Samach Dalet, page 127, 64A. Okay, so we're around 5-6 lines down. Please, I need everyone's attention. Okay, so the Gemara says, we're around the 8th line. So Amra Pubi Bartista Amar Shmuel, Kofin Yigaret Merit Al Arusa, Bein Kofin Yigaret Merit Al Shmer Yavam. Now, we have to be patient because the Gemara is going to go through different shatim of what Shmuel meant. But right now, we think it means that if the, again, we spoke about yesterday, about if the woman's about red or the man's about red. And on one level, it means like they're withholding intimacy from their partner. So if the woman's a moreret, then we subtract a certain amount from the ksuba. And if the man's a moreret, we add a certain amount to the ksuba. That's where the Gemara went to. That was the Mishnah we showed. That was the halakha of the Mishnah. Let's be patient. I'll pause in a few lines. Okay? We went through this yesterday. This one minute. The Amar Shmuel, Kofin Yigaret Merit Al Arusa. So Shmuel says, we think if the Arusa, in which it was only after Erusin, and she was, you know, declined to go forward. She doesn't want to go forward with the marriage. So we write Nigeret Merit on the Arusa. It means we penalize her. Being Kofi Nigeret Merit al Shmer Yavam. We think it means that if she's a Shmer Yavam, a woman who's waiting for Yibum, and she doesn't want to go forward with the Yibum, then we wouldn't write. Now, Nigeret Merit means the Beis Din is issuing an order, you know, directing that either the man or the woman be penalized. So if the woman's being penalized, we're subtracting from the ksuba. And if the man's being penalized, then we're adding money to the ksuba. So that's what we think that Shmuel means. And the Gemara is going to dice this up in the coming lines. So assuming that it means this way. So it means we think that the woman is in a state of rebellion. Either she's an Arusa or she's an Asher Yavam. But the Arusa, we get involved. Because I don't want to go forward with Nisuin anymore. So we're going to penalize her, we think. And if the Shmer Yavam, she doesn't want to go forward with the Yibam, we're not going to penalize her. We don't understand. We must be patient. Okay? So maybe on this, we ask a kasha from the following price. And in this price we had yesterday, we had it twice in yesterday's daf. We had the longer price yesterday. Maybe achat li arusa unesua filunida filuchola filu Shmer Yavam. So it means, achat li means the same halakha applies by a moredet, whether she's an arusa, or she's an esua, or even if she's an ida, or if she's sick, and even a Shomeret Yavam. In other words, all of them, the same halakha would be that she's in a state of merit. So here, we're saying there's no difference between Arusa and Shomeret Yavam, and yet Shmuel said we're only going to get involved if it's an Arusa, not Shomeret Yavam. So that's the difficulty. That's the difficulty in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, there's no difficulty between two statements. We have Shmuel's statement and the Braisa. Kan Shetavahu, Kan Shetavahi. That Tavahu means that he wants to go forward with everything and she's recalcitrant. So that would be in the case of the Braisa. So Tavahu, he gets the full panoply of relief. But Tavahi, if she wants to move forward with things and he doesn't want to move forward, so we're not necessarily going to get involved. The Amar Tetlifa Barabimi Amar Shmuel, Tavahu and his Kakimlo, if he wants to go forward, we'll be involved with him. And Rashi points out, be involved with him because he has a mitzvah period of Arivia. The man is mitzvah on period of Arivia. So if he wants to go forward, it means she's in rebellion. She doesn't want to go forward. So we're going to help him out. We're going to use all the tools that are at our disposal. But Tavahi, but if she's the one who's seeking to move forward, we're not going to be involved with her. We'll discuss all the details in a second. So if you look at Rashi on the fourth white line, because she's not Suvan Piri Varivi. We'll see. So the Gemara says, so what did you say Shmuel's statement is talking about? But again, Shmuel said, we think that the way the Gemara is saying it now is that. He, in other words, it's different than what we said originally. And originally, we said that she's in rebellion in both statements. In other words, he wants to move forward; she doesn't want to move forward, so she's in a state of rebellion. So, but now the Gemara is saying no; she's only in a state of rebellion in the Braisa. Shmuel's statement: she's not in rebellion; he's not cooperative. So the Gemara says, "Mayu kimplad Shmuel b'shetavahi." She wants to go forward, and he's not being cooperative. So, high kofini garet merit la rusa. So if it says that we do write Nigeret Merit for an Arusa, in other words, when she went through Erusin, So we are going to help her out. That's what we're saying. We are going to help her out when she went through Erusin. So Kofin Igeret Merit Ala Rusa, the implication of that statement is that we impose the penalties on the Arusa. It says La Arusa Mi Baile. It should be, if this shot is correct, the Red Igeret Merit La Arusa on behalf of the Arusa. Not Al Arusa means we're going to penalize the Arusa. La Arusa means on her behalf. So the Gemara says, Halo Kasha. That's not a question. Tani La Arusa. I could learn in Shmuel's statement, and in Achanami, we should understand it as if it said La Arusa. So now the Gemara says, Maishna Shmert Yavam Zlo. So now, why is it, again, within Shmuel's statement, we have the Arusa and we have the Shmer Yavam? And we said it's the case of Tavahi. She wants to go forward, he doesn't want to go forward. So the Gemara is bothered. Why are we helping that one situation, not the other one? So Maishna Shmer Yavam Zlo. So why be Shmer Yavam we don't want to get involved with? The Amrina La, Zio, Lomifkarit. We'll say, like, give it, you know, in other words, get going. You're not Mesuvan Piri Barivia. So tough luck. So Arusanami name of law is Zio Lomifkarit. So that if that's the case, by the Arusa, we also should not get involved. In other words, he doesn't want to go forward. She does want to go forward. But Mamela, she's not Mesuvan Piri Barivia. So why should we help her out? So Ella, Baba Mahmataina. So the Gemara says it must be that she has an additional claim more than what was stated in Shmuel's statement. And what's the additional claim? Baba Mahmataina, da Amra, that she's saying, Ba'ina Chutra Liyad Umara Lakur. The Arusa is saying, I want to go forward, but I don't want to go forward just because I want to have Pir Barivia, in other words, to fulfill the mitzvah, but I want to go forward because I have an interest in having a Chutra Liyad Umara Lakur. It means a staff in the hand and a shovel for Kur. So the Gemara, remember, we had this in Yivamot. The Gemara said that children are, you know, the chutra liyado mara lakura. Children are a staff for the hand. In other words, when the parent gets older, so the children support them. And then Rahman al-San, when they pass away, they take care of the burial. So she's saying, I went through Erusin with this fellow, and I do want to go forward. I have kids. Not necessarily it didn't Piri Barivia, but that's why I want to go forward. Can you help me out? That's where she's coming to the Bezdin and saying, please help me out. I'm going to help her out. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Hakanami Shemeret Yavam Babam Mahmataina. If that's the case, so the Shemeret Yavam, if I construe the cases the same way. Again, Shmuel speaks about two cases, one the Arusa and one the Shemeret Yavam. The Arusa, somebody's not going to want to go forward with Nisun. We think that he doesn't want to go forward right now with Nisun. This way we're thinking right now. And the Shemeret Yavam, he also apparently doesn't want to go forward with Yibam. So we said, but the Shemeret Yavam is not Mitzvah Piri Barivia, so we're not going to get involved. So we said the Arusa Nats, the Arusa has a Taina. So if you're going to say the Arusa has a Taina, then the Shemeret Yavam should also have a Taina. He says, Hachanami Shemeret Yavam Baba Mahma Taina. So if that's the case, Shemeret Yavam is also coming forward and saying, I want to have kids so that I'll have, you know, a Chutra Liyada and a Mara Lakura. Ella, so the Gemara revises its understanding of Shmuel's statement. Ella Edi Shitabahu. So scratch what we said, delete what we said up till now, and now the Gemara is saying both statements, both Shmuel's statement and the Brisa, are talking about Tabahu, that the man wants to go forward and the woman is recalcitrant in both instances. So the difficulty is that in Shmuel's statement, we're not going to get involved with Shmuel Yavam, but in the Brisa we are. So how do we resolve that? Below Kasha, there's no contradiction between the two statements. Kan Laklotz, Kan Liyabim. That the Brisa, we think, is talking about where the Yavam wants to do Chalitza, so, and she doesn't want to go forward with Chalitza, so we're going to help him out. In Shmuel's statement, I didn't say it right. Kan Laklotz, Kan Liyabim. I think I flipped it over, right? I did it right? Okay. So Kan Laklotz, Kan Liyabim, and whereas in Shmuel's statement, he wants to go forward with Yibam, and she doesn't want to go forward with Yibam. The Amarei Pidanam Yochanan, Tavva Lachlotz Niskakamlo. What if Yochanan said, if the Yavam wants to do Chalitza, we're going to get involved with him and help facilitate that end. Tavva Liyabim in Niskakamlo. But if he wants to do Yibam, we're not going to necessarily get involved with helping him. So Rashi helps us out with this. He says, in Niskakamlo, if you look in the Rashi, the 10th narrow line, Lefishin Mitkavin Lashem Mitzvah, Uchmishna Charon, Vimrin Leiz Yilna Sivakriti. In other words, we think that he doesn't have necessarily a mitzvah in mind, so we're not going to get involved with him. In other words, does he have in mind to have Yibam for the same mitzvah? So the Gemara says on the fourth wide line, And I'll pause in just another few lines and I'll review everything and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Why is it with the Yibum, we're not, in other words, in each case, it's Tavahu. He wants to go forward. He doesn't want to go forward. So we think Shmuel is talking about a case where we think where he wants to Yibum, not going to get involved with him. The Bryce is talking about he wants to get Chalitza. We are going to help him out. So the Gemara says, Mishnah Yabim Delo, why is it when he wants to go forward with Yibum, we're not going to help him out? So he says, we'll say to the fellow, why don't you just marry? What do you have to get involved with her? Marry another woman. In other words, gay goes into aid. In other words, what are you getting so fixated with this lady? In other words, he wants to go forward with Yibum with her. She doesn't want it. She's not interested. So we say, find another shidduch. Go. There's lots of women out there. What are you getting involved with her? If that's the case, so when he wants to do chalitza, we should also say, so go find another shidduch. What are you so involved, focused on your sister-in-law? Elo da amar even da gidabi lo kiavli achriti. In the case of chalitza, the man says, the yavam says, I would like to get another shidduch, but nobody woman wants to get involved with me because I still have this connection, the zika, with my sister-in-law, and they're afraid that it'll end up like in a marriage and another wife in the situation. They don't want to get involved with me, so I have to wrap this up before I can marry another woman. So the same thing, that same line of argument would be true by the man who wants to Yibam. In other words, say, go get another shidduch, but I have to wrap this matter up first. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara is saying both statements are talking about he wants to go forward. And now in both statements, he wants to do Yibam. Not like we said a moment ago that Shmuel wants to do Yibam, the Bryce he wants to do Chalitza. In both instances, he wants to go forward with Yibam. Hello, Kasha. There's no contradiction between Shmuel's statement and the Bryce, Khan Commissioner Rishona, Khan Commissioner Achrona. In other words, the Mishnah Rishona, we'll see in a minute, Tetan, we learned this already in the Yivam review, Tetan, Mitzvah Yibam, Kudemon, Mitzvah Chalitza, he says that Yibam has priority over Chalitza. So preferably you should do Yibam rather than Chalitza, but that's Barishoma Shu Mekavim the Shem Mitzvah. That's initially when people had the right intent for it, they would be Mekavim the Shem Mitzvah. So we're saying the Braisa is talking about the Mishnah Rishona. The Braisa that says we have a Shomer Yavam means in both instances he wants to do Yibam. The man wants to do Yibam. So in the Braisa, it's talking about the Mishnah Rishona, that people had the right intent. In other words, I want to do it because I want to, you know, Kim Lachiv Shem Israel. I want my brother's, you know, spirit should have rest on the child and things like that. I want to do the right thing. I'm mechaving the Shem Mitzvah. He says, but Achshav Shem mechaving the Shem Mitzvah. But then the Mishnah says, now later on, people didn't have such, you know, wonderful motivations. Amru Mitzvah Chalitza Kedamah Mitzvah Yibam. They said Chalitza has priority over Yibam. Okay, let's just digest what we did. Review it, and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, and discuss, okay? So we began today's daf with a statement of Shmuel, and we're talking about a woman who's in a state of a moreda. She's not doing that which she should be doing. So Shmuel made a statement that if she's in Arusa and she doesn't want to go forward with Nisuin, so the Beis Din is going to issue an order designating her as being in a state of rebellion, which has financial implications for her. We're only going to issue that igaret if she's an arusa and doesn't want to go forward with nisuin. But if she's a shomer yavam, then we're not going to do it. So according to Maskanat Gemara, it means in both instances he wants to do yibam with her. So we're not going to get involved with that because we don't think people should be doing yibam anymore today. They should be in chalitza. So we're not going to issue an igaret merit. But with the arusa, he wants to go forward. He wants to have, you know, Piri Verivia. Yeah, we're going to help him with that. And we're going to say, you should go forward. In other words, we're going to penalize you. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, and then the Braisa that said, all of these women were going to get involved, and the Shomer Yavam is one of the women going to get involved. That's telling you about what the Mishnah Rishona, when Yibam was more preferable, because people did Yibam for all the right, you know, the altruistic motivations. Okay, who has questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
Rabbi, I have a question. Can you hear me?
That's right. Yeah, I hear you, Daniel. What's up?
Regarding the pru or vu.
Yeah, we were hearing you. I don't hear you anymore. All right. Danny, we lost you. All right. No, we said that, remember, we weren't seeing, you missed the daffin, but I know you couldn't be here, but you have to listen online or do the daff on your own. We said that a woman has certain obligations, and one obligation is that she doesn't want to, you know, do tashmish, be intimate with her husband, so then she's in a state of marriage, she's in a state of rebellion. So even if they're fully married and she's not doing that, then the bezdin will still get involved.
With it.
We discussed it, that they'll get involved with him as well. What's up, Aaron Moshe?
No, I'm saying when the woman wants to do it, but she's not doing it for period of review, she's doing it because she wants to have the staff at old age, that the children should be with her and help her out. Why don't we say over there, Matosha Lishma, Balishma, that maybe later it'll be Lishma.
It doesn't matter whether it's Lishma or Shlo Lishma. In other words, the Gemara gave that as a possible explanation, assuming that he was the recalcitrant party. So the Gemara moved away from that and said that Shmuel was talking about a case where she's recalcitrant, and the Bryce is talking about where she's recalcitrant. So what would be the case with a woman who wants to go forward and he says with the Kutra and the Yat Mara Lakura? I don't know. The Gemara doesn't address it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Rabbi, are you able to hear me now?
Yeah, now I hear you. Now I hear you, Daniel. Go ahead.
So regarding the man who has a mitzvah of pru or vu, once he has already fulfilled the mitzvah of pru, in other words, I know he had the whatever, Bet Hillel, Bet Shammai, is two children, boy, girl. So no longer does he have that mitzvah. Does that make a difference in terms of calculation?
Well, the thing is, he still would have a kiyum mitzvah the more children he has. So I'm not sure that would make a difference. In other words, even if he's done the minimum, he could still have more of a kiyum mitzvah. Okay, I'm gonna move forward. Now, we're five lines from the bottom on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? So we said, Ad Matai Hu Pochei B'chule. So we said in the Mishnah that if the woman's in a state of rebellion, so according to the Tana, Kama of our Mishnah, we deduct Shiva Dinarim B'Shabbat, 7 Dinarim for each week that she's in a state of rebellion. And Rabbi Yehuda says, 7 trepikin. And the Gemara is going to say, what's a trepik? The Gemara is going to say it's half the amount. And then if he's in a state of rebellion, so we penalize him, we add on to his indebtedness with the ksuba, 3 dinarim for each Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says 3 trepikin. And we'll discuss why the woman is different than the man. So the Gemara, again, 5 lines from the bottom on Sabbat Dalet Amud Aleph, Amatei Pochei Pechulei, my trepikin. So first the Gemara says, what are trepikin? So Amar of Sheshet Istra, Sheshet is an Istra, which is a coin. The common Istra, Palka Zuzza, half a Zuz. So in other words, Zuzza the dinar. So it means half the amount. And if you remember, the Gemara says in Masechet Yoma about Hillel, I think it's on Lamed Gimel Beis in Masechet Yoma, Hillel Mechayev Haniyim, Hillel indicted the Haniyim, and the Gemara surprised that Hillel was very poor, and he earned only a trepik each day. And half the trepik he would give to his household, and half he would use to pay the entrance in the base medrash. So Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a brisa that supports this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shlosha Trepikin, the Tan Rabbi Yehuda says that we penalize the man, 3 trepikin, Shehein Tesha Ma'in, which comes out to 9 Ma'in. Each trepik is 3 Ma'ah. Ma'ah v'chetzi l'chol yom. A Ma'ah and a half for each day. It means the man we're going to penalize for 6 days a week. He's in a state of rebellion. We're going to penalize him for 6 days of the week. So it works out within the town of Rabbi Yehuda that it's 1.5 Ma'ah per day. So 6 times 1.5 comes out to be 9, which is the amount that he says we're going to penalize him. So Amalei Rabbi Chila Bar Yosef L'Shmuel, Ma'ishna Yudiv even late to Shabbat. Why is it when the woman is in a state of merit, so the man is able to collect, you know, penalties even for Shabbos? And there was one who's 7 dinarim for 1 dinar a day even for Shabbos. So she gets penalized for Shabbos. Ma'ishna Ihi Lo Yavin Alad to Shabbat. And when the man is in a state of rebellion, she only gets for Sunday through Friday. She doesn't get Shabbos. So this is an important sugya. Each sugya, you know, like in the Gemara, sometimes you have one sugya here, but it relates to other dinim and other applications. We'll see. So, if we're penalizing somebody, in other words, let's say we're penalizing the woman, we're subtracting from her ksuba, that doesn't look like it's Schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos is, let's say a Jewish man is working on Shabbos, but he's doing only heter. He's working as a waiter on Shabbos, or he's doing not doing malacha on Shabbos, but he's working on Shabbos. Nevertheless, it's prohibited to pay him just for the work that he does on Shabbos. That's Schar Shabbos. So if I'm paying you for work that you do on Shabbos, that's prohibited. That's Schar Shabbos. So here the Gemara says, if she is being penalized, meaning that, you know, originally he owed her $10,000. Now he owes her $10,000, you know, minus $100, whatever. So that doesn't look like Schar Shabbos. He says, Ihu de osfi kamosfa, but with him, in other words, when he's in a state of rebellion and we're adding on money that he owes her, turn page, nefsi kishar Shabbos. It looks like Schar Shabbos. It looks like for her, right, it looks like she's making money on Shabbos. So let me get to the Mishnah, and then I'll come back to this point, and we'll see. It's an important halacha maisa, which we'll discuss. So we're on the top line on top of the Alan days. Okay, so it's much nicer having you here in person than on the Zoom. Yeah. There's no comparison to being here in person to being there in Zoom. Zoom is only meant as a really b'dievet during the COVID crisis. Okay, now, 100% correct. Okay, now the Gemara says on the top line of the Alan of Days, wait till I get to the Mishnah. Wait four lines and I'll take, okay? Just a minute. So, Amrali Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef l'Shmuel, Mabein Moreh l'Moredet. Why is it that the woman is penalized so much more than the man, twice as much as the man? Why is she's in a state of merit, so 7 dinarim Shabbos. He's in a state of merit, so it's 3 dinarim, you know, for the 6 days, but it's a lot more for the woman. So the Gemara says, Amrali, Siluman Mishuk Shalzonot, me so hurt me. Go to the shuk, so don't go. But like, this is the way you rather leave, which is saying don't actually go. But if you look, like, let's say with you know, Zonot, who's hot? In other words, the women, you don't have places where women are hiring men, even though they talk about that. The men are hiring the women. Please. Okay. The men are hiring the women. The men are hiring the women. So it means the man suffers much more when the woman withholds, you know, her intimacy than the woman suffers when the man withholds his intimacy. So therefore, it's only kedai that we should penalize the woman more. In other words, the man is suffering more from her position than the woman is suffering from his position. So we have a greater penalty. This is the first answer. So a greater penalty on the woman than on the man. And let's look at Rashi, the second white line of Rashi. Oh, he'll play just 1 minute. It says, me soker at me, heavy omer Rashi, ha'ish soker at Aisha, the man who hires the woman, shvaminat tsaro maruba. You see that his distress is greater. Or back in the Gemara, Dabar Acher, an alternative shot, Zeh Yisromi B'chutz V'Zeh Yisromi B'chim. Or alternatively, means if a man, you know, he desires to sleep with his wife, and he gets, you know, sort of like tied under the belt, so Yisromi B'chutz Rashi says, Kishyoni Karam Et Ganeh. In other words, like, people, it's humiliating that people see he's in a state like this. Zeh Yisromi B'chim. If she desires it, so there's nothing physical that appears on her, and nobody ever knows about it, so it's not as embarrassing to her. In other words, the man, you know, if he gets sexually excited, it's visible sometimes. But the woman, nothing is visible. Okay, now let me just explain one thing about Schar Shabbos, and then I'll open up the floor to questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, now with this thing with Schar Shabbos, we had a piece. Let me get it. One second. The earlier one. Yeah. Wait. Okay, now this relates to the topic, right? So let's say when it comes to a chazan, paying a chazan on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to pay a chazan just a daven on Shabbos. So the way it's done typically with all these situations is with havlah. In other words, having the person doing work during the week, let's say he's a waiter, so he'll do some work on Friday for the meal, and then everything, the payment is for everything together, and then that is permissible. But there are people, though, who just want to work on Shabbos. So there's an interesting idea that came up, and Rav Shachar was mentioning this to me as well. Who's he quoting from here? One second. Yeah, the Sefer Tehillah to David. He comes up with an interesting idea to permit, let's say, a chazan just to be paid for his work on Shabbos. On Friday, the gabbai, the shul, should lend him a sum of money to the chazan with a stipulation that if he serves on Shabbos as a chazan, the debt will be reduced by a certain amount. In other words, let's say let's say the chazan gets 250. Right. Let's say the chazan gets 250 a week. So on Friday, before he's done a stitch of work, the gabbai or somebody in the shul will lend him $1,000, and then for each Shabbos that he works, we'll reduce his indebtedness by $250. So instead of paying him, we're reducing his indebtedness. So the Tehillah David wanted to say, it's based on this Gemara. The Gemara says here, the Gemara said, "E on the bottom line on Sabbath Dalet Amud Aleph, E demifchat kapachit lomechzi kischar Shabbos." That if I'm reducing the amount of his indebtedness, that doesn't look like schar Shabbos. So the Gemara wanted to say that if I'm reducing indebtedness, that doesn't look like Schar Shabbos. So he has an indebtedness, he owes $1,000 to the shul. But now I reduce the indebtedness each Shabbos. So now that's what the Tehillah David wanted to say. This was an idea to get out of the issue of Schar Shabbos. Now, he quotes, though, from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, this is in the Moror Daf Yomi, that he responded to this. He thought it was very strange. He says the two cases are not analogous. He says an argument is during with a husband who's not doing anything, you know, in terms of, in other words, when his indebtedness is being reduced, but he's not actually doing something. In other words, you're doing something, you're getting something back. That looks a lot like more Schar Shabbos. In the case of the Gemara, he's sitting there, she's in a state of rebellion, his indebtedness is being reduced. Here, in the case of Tehillah David, the chazan is performing, and then the indebtedness is being reduced. So that's not exactly the same thing. He says, the chazan, right, that's the basic idea. Okay, now, first, Yosef, you've been patient, and then I'll get to everybody else. What do you have for me? Right. Wait, no. But each day, there's a penalty that accrues each day. No. Let's go back. So, again, with the case with the woman, in other words, if the woman's in the case, the riot is when the woman's in a state of rebellion. So the woman's not giving intimacy to the man.
The whole week she's not.
Yeah, but each day it's coming out to be a din or a day, according to the Tanakhama. So each day that she's in a state of rebellion, her ksuba gets reduced by one dinar a day. So, but on Shabbos, it gets reduced another dinar. So the Gemara says, so how come she's 7 dinarim and he's only getting the week? So the Gemara says that her debt is being, her ksuba is, her amount of money is being reduced. The amount of money that would normally be given to her is being reduced. So that doesn't look like Schar Shabbos. With the man, I'm increasing his indebtedness, and that does look like Schar Shabbos. So the Tehillah David wanted to say, you see that reduction in indebtedness doesn't look like Schar Shabbos. But the Shlomo Zalman said the two cases are analogous. Okay, what's up, Rafi? Right, that's what we're talking about. Wait. Again. So it means either she's in a state of rebellion or he's in a state of rebellion. But it's not like the stock exchange. It's not like the stock market. In other words, but that's not due to her actions. It'll be due to his actions. Okay. Right. No, for her or for him. Well, once then divorce her and that's it. Gemarnu, okay? Okay, that's it.
As far as the woman is concerned, if you're going to make it day by day, it's a problem. We always use habla'a as coming and putting weekly rates.
Again, we're not using habla'a here. the penalties are not working with habla'a. They're working a daily rate. That's the way the penalties work. Okay, now let's go back to the Gemara. All right, let's take a look. Now we're on Samach Dalet Amud Beis. We're up to the next Mishnah. Yesh Kol, everybody, you're making a lot of progress in this Masechta. Now we're on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, 5 lines from the top. Okay, Manitin, Hamashrit Ishto Idei Shalish. Now this talks about a man who's supporting his wife, but whatever reason, not living together. Either he takes business trips or they've decided to live apart, but he's still supporting her. So the Shalish is a third party. So he's supporting her through a third party. So now the Tana describes what he, the man, must do for her, for supporting her. So lo yifkot la ishtei kav mechitim, he has to give her at least two kav, kav is a measurement, of wheat each week. Each week she has to give at least two kav of chitin, or in the alternative, four kav of barley. Obviously, wheat is more preferable to barley. He says, Am Rabbi Yossi, mo pasaklas to'orim el Rabbi Shmuel shesamuk ledom. So we don't know what this line means, but the Gemara is going to explain. It means that when the Tana says you get twice as many se'orim as chitim, he's only talking about the most inferior se'orim, which is near where Rabbi Shmuel lived. And as Rabbi Shmuel was in the vicinity of Edom, they had very inferior barley. But in other places, it was the equivalence would be a different adjustment. He says here, "Benotein lachati kav kitnit." Yes, give her a half a kav of kitnit, or like vegetables or beans. Lachati log shemen each week, and a half log of shemen of oil. The kav grogrot, a kav of dried figs. Mana devela, or in the alternative of mana, mana is 100 zuz, but it means 100 zuz is the amount of money, but it's also weight. Because the coins were money, but they're also weight. So the weight of 100 zuz, devela is the pressed figs. If you remember, you have the figs, you cut them, and then they're ta'anim, and they dry out, then they're grogrot, and they take the grogrot, they press them into a cake, and then it's the igule devela. Okay? So he's got to give her a kav of grogrot or a mana of devela. Vim aimlo, if he can't get a hold of grogrot or devela, he'll make a substitution, other payrot from a different place, but like an equivalent is a minimum amount. Then he has to supply with a bed. A mapatz and machatzelet means like the mattress. One's a softer mattress, one's a harder mattress. He has to give it to her. And now here, this seems like once a year. He has to give her a kippah l'rosha, like a cap for a head. This is, it's interesting, the word kippah and shows up like we, or in Israel, they use it for a yarmulke. Here I think it's a yarmulke more commonly, but kippah shows up in the Gemara as a covering for the woman's head as opposed to the man's head. It says, Notela kippah l'rosha, v'chagur l'manea, and a belt for her loins. Some want to say it's like an apron. U'minalimi mo'id l'moid. And then he has to give her new shoes from yantiv to yantiv. Each yantiv, he has to give her new shoes. V'kelim shel chamishim zuz, Mishana Lashana. Then each year he has to give her clothing of 50 zuz. When he buys the new clothes, he shouldn't buy the new clothes in the summer. In other words, new clothes are thicker. Then when they wear out, they're thinner. So the thicker clothes, it's like too hot in the summer. It's like very uncomfortable. And in the winter, you want the thick clothes. You want to keep warm. So you shouldn't give the new clothes in the summer, and you shouldn't give her the worn clothes in the winter. He'll give her the new clothes in the winter, and then she'll wear the worn-out clothes in the summer. The worn-out clothes she gets to keep. That's each year. Then, and then this piece we had already, it'll be reviewed for Daf Yomi, hopefully. And if you remember, in other words, she gets an allowance of a ma of kesef each week. Now, if you remember, we spoke about the way the Gemara tells you this could be for the motar. In other words, for the extra, in other words, there's a certain amount of minimum work she has to do. If she does extra work, then he gives her above, and then that's the ma'a kesef. And there was ma'a cloaked in the Gemara. And that's the way Rav Kochi explained it also with the motar. But Shabbat, that the wife should eat with him. Now, we're talking about somebody who doesn't live in the house and he's supporting her, but they should eat together at least a Friday night meal, the Gemara says. So either it's talking about Tamidei Chachamim, and it means the ona is on Friday night, or I might be talking about people in general, but it's nice to get together on Friday night, and it could be intimacy as well. But if he doesn't want to give her the ma kesef, or he doesn't give her the ma kesef, so the way we said, it would be the motar on the masiyah that would be hers. And that's for the ikar masiyah daim. And then it was, remember, she gets the mizonot for the ikar masiyah daim, and then she gets the ma kesef for the motar. That's the way we learned in the Gemara. So what's the ikar? He says, Mishkal Chamishlam Sheti Behuda, and Daniel was nice enough to provide me with the picture, which I sent to everybody today, of the loom and the warp and the woof. He says, so she has to like take care of wool and provide five slayim, it was a weight of five slayim, of sheti, of the warp thread, which is the thicker thread in Yehuda, an Esther slime of Galil, which is 10 slime in the Galil, means the same weight, but in the Galil the slime weighed less. Oh, Mishkal Esther Slime Erev Behuda, or it's 10 slime of woof wool, which is thinner, Behuda Shane Estrim Slime Begalio, which would be 20 slime in the Galio. He might tell Nika, if she was nursing, Pochtin Lamima Seyadeha. So if she's nursing, we can reduce the amount that she has to produce. It doesn't say how much. The most Sifin Lama Zono Tel, and we increase the Mizono. It doesn't tell me how much, but more. But the Murim Ba'anisha B'Israel, this is only if the husband is on the lower income L. This is like the minimum that a husband should provide for his wife. Above Mechubad, but he's a Gavir, he's got more money. Hakolafi Kvoto, everything, they have more money, so he's got to provide more. This is like the minimum he needs to provide. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
How's from Daniel's picture had a man with the
Wait, first Rafi, then we'll get to you. What's up? He's taking care of her. He goes on business trips. He goes on business trips to the Far East to buy gems. And so why is he in the Far East? He provides for somebody else to provide for the wife. That's what it's on. Or the Meiri. The Meiri says they're both agreeable to living separately. The Meiri says they're both agreeable to living separately. Okay. Or what's up, Fern? What do you got for me, Fern?
Why in the photos that Daniel sent was there a man at the loom?
Okay, let's ask Daniel. He sent the photos.
Right.
Okay, go ahead, Daniel. She wants to know why in the photos was there a man at the loom.
I just transferred them from someone to a
Sunday. Okay. Anyway. All right. Anyway, but here the Gemara is saying that she actually, I think, is spinning the thread. She's not necessarily doing the weaving. In other words, she's preparing 5 slime of warp thread. And the warp thread is thicker. That's the Shefi. She's not necessarily doing the weaving. So it could be the man would be at the loom. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, I'm going to move on then. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, all right, let's focus. There's a difficulty in this Gemara, but we're going to try to do it as simply as possible. Now, the key line to remember in the Mishnah was that we said that he has to supply her 2 kav of chitim each week. So on the 6th line, he says, lo yivchot la mishnei kav of chitim. He can't give her less than 2 kav of wheat each week. So the presumption is that 2 kav of wheat will be enough for her to produce whatever bread she needs to eat during the whole week. And the Gemara takes it in the Havamina that she needs 2 meals a day. So it'll be for 14 meals, and we'll see. So back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Mani Manitin, according to whom does our Mishnah go? Lo Rav Yochanan Broka, lo Rav Shimon. Apparently, our Mishnah, based on this calculation, that the woman is going to get 2 kav of chitim per week, apparently does not follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka or the Tan Rav Shim we know is Rav Shim bar Yochai. Did not, because we learned the Mishnah, and we had this in Masechet Erevin, but it's Mishnah Masechet Kalim. The Kamashiro. So you say about if a person has an Erev Tumin, so remember, Erev Tumin is when you want to walk on Shabbos. Please, somebody is not muted, but I'm going to help you out, okay? You've got to help you out, okay? There you go. Now, so if a person wants to walk beyond Tum Shabbos, the 2,000 Apayimama, so on Friday, the person can take enough food for 2 meals and leave it in a location. So the Mishnah is analyzing how much food does he have to leave. So it's for bread. So the Dan, Mekamashiro, Mazon Shtei Sudot, L'Cholakad V'Yachad. So the Tana first says it has to be enough for 2 meals for each person that's engaging in the Eruv Tchumen. So if one person wants to have Eruv Tchumen, so he's got enough food for 2 meals. If it's 2 people, you have 4 meals. Now, Mizono L'Chovelo L'Shabbat V'Remeir. Remeir says it's the amount you would eat during the week, but not on Shabbos. Remeir would eat more on Shabbos than during the week. So he's saying it could be 2 meals, 2 weekday meals is enough. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Shabbat below the Chol. Tana Rabbi Yehuda says it's the amount you would eat on Shabbos, but the Gemara explains in another minute that Rabbi Yehuda would have less bread on Shabbos than he would have during the week because he had all these other foods that he was eating. So in the Gemara says, both of these opinions, their intent is to be makil on the person. So I need enough food for 2 meals. In other words, the idea is that I'm changing my makom. This is my new home where I'm leaving the food. And I have to have at least 2 meals on Shabbos. So, but they're both saying that I can calculate the amount of food I need in the most lenient fashion. Now, each one is giving a subjective shear based on how much you would eat on a meal. So, Rameir says how much you would eat on a weekday meal, because in his weekday meals he had less, even though you're leaving on Shabbos, this is a weekday meal. And Rameir says it's the amount you would leave for a Shabbos meal, because he would eat less bread on a Shabbos meal because he had all the other foods he was filling in. And they're both with having lahakel. Let's look at Rashi around midway down the narrow lines.
Remember, we eat more bread on Shabbos than during the week. He would, like with all the foods he would eat bread with it. So he'd have more bread on Shabbos than during the week. Rabbi Yehuda would eat less bread on Shabbos. He would fill himself up with all the delicacies. So sof kol sof, he would eat less bread. Okay, that's not what we need, though. That's like the down the side. Now, back in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, Kikar Lakuf Punyon, if you need a loaf that's purchased for one punyon. Punyon is a coin. Miar Basin Stella, I meant to bring my notebook in with me, I forgot. He says, from Arbasin Lasella, meaning when I can get four sa'a for one sella, a sella is a coin. And then the amount of wheat that I would buy for one punyon would be enough for the two meals. Now, a punyon comes out to be 1/48 of a sella, 1/48 of a sella. And a sa'a, four sa'a, there's six kav in each sa'a. So four sa'a, okay, but I can't leave it here. You need this now?
Use it right now.
Okay, so I'll leave it right here. Okay, thank you. So the maybe send that out also with email. Anyway, so okay, so 1 minute. So it means like this. So he's saying that when a seller purchases four sa'a, a seller is an amount of money. It purchases four sa'a. So a seller is 48 punyon. When I get for 48 punyons, I get four sa'a. Four sa'a is 24 kavs. So when 24 kavs cost one seller, the amount of bread I could buy for one punyon will be enough for two meals. So if you do the math, it comes out one punyon would be half a kav. Half a kav, right? In other words, if a sella is 48, so 1/48, and the sella is equal to 24 kavs, and I'm dividing it by 48, so it means half. In other words, so half a kav. So we think right now, according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka, half a kav would be two meals, and it means a single meal would be a quarter of a kav. Does everybody have that or not? Half a kav is two meals, we think, and a quarter kav would be one meal. Now, if a quarter kav is one meal, so how many kav does the woman require for during the week? So if she's having two meals every day, so she's got, 14 meals, and each one is a quarter, so it would come out to be...
Three and a half?
All right, so three and a half. But the Mishnah said you're only getting two kavs, so it's not working out well for that. So the Mishnah apparently doesn't follow like Reb Yochanan Broka. Then Reb Shimon Omer, the town of Reb Shimon, says, what's two meals? They're giving objective standards. Although before we had subjective standards. Now they're giving an objective standard, how much I need for the two meals. So Reb Yehuda says, I need a loaf of bread when the loaf of bread goes for a punyon, and based on the ratio that you said before. And Reb Shimon says, shtei yadot l'kikar, I need 2/3 of a loaf, mishalosh kikar l'kav, when one kav gives me three loaves. So it means each loaf is 1/3 of a kav. And I need, each loaf is 1/3 of a kav, and I need 2/3 of it. So each loaf is 1/3 of a kav, so I need 2/9, right? In other words, each loaf is 3/9. So I need 2/3 of that. So I need 2/9. So 2/9 would be enough for the two meals. 1/9 would be 1/9 of a kav would be so 1/9 of a kav. So it comes out though that with the two kavs, he's got 18 meals. So it's more than she needs, right? Right. If a meal is 1/9 of a kav, and I'm giving you two kavs, I'm giving you enough for 18 meals during the week. But that's more than you need. Okay, so 1 minute. So we should be in the minute. Let's go through the minute. Somebody keeps on muting themselves. I don't know what the problem is with this. Okay, now let's get back on the Gemara. Now, anyway, the bottom line is, doesn't seem like our mission follows Rabbi Yochanan Broka, and doesn't seem like it follows Rabbi Shimon. The math doesn't work out. Then the Tana Mishnah continues on. Tetzi lebeta manuga. Half of that amount would be, in other words, we're talking about two meals. So half that amount would be the beit hamanuga, meaning the amount of time, this is an unrelated halakha, that you would have to be in the house that has saras in order to become tamei. If you say this is ochel b'bayit, if a person eats in the house, doesn't mean you have to eat, but you stay in the house enough to eat half of one meal, then you're tamei. But fatzichat here, a quarter of that amount, the soul of agriya. If a person consumes that, then he becomes possible to eat truma. It's not tuma on a derice level, but he becomes possible to eat truma. But chatzichat here, I think it's up to an eighth of that amount, is the kabel tumat oklin. It comes out to be one egg. In other words, one egg is enough to be the kabel tumat oklin. And according to Rashi, Rashi takes it like any small amount could be kabel tuma, but it means to transmit tuma, it has to be an egg. But simple pshat is, in order for the food to be mekabel tuma, it has to be an egg. Okay, now, that's the Mishnah until now. I have to keep moving because we're running out of time, okay? So the Gemara says, Mani, according to whom does our Mishnah here, the Mishnah Ksubas go like? Even Rabbi Yochanan Broka, if it goes like Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Tamani Havyan. So if it's a quarter kav for each meal, and he gives her two kavs each week, she only has enough for eight meals. So we eat Rabbi Yochanan Broka Tamani Havin. So he's giving her enough for eight meals, and that's for the whole week. That doesn't work out well. The Rabbi Shimon, and if it's a ninth of a kav is each meal, this is Tamani Sri Havin, comes out to be 18 meals, and that's much more than she requires for a week, we think, because we think she needs two meals per day. So our Mishnah doesn't work like either one of those tonight. So the Gemara says, Le'olam Rabbi Yochanan Broka. No, our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yochanan Broka. Yochanan Broka says it's a quarter kav for each meal, we think. Rav Chista says elsewhere that we misunderstood the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yochanan Broka said, a kikar that you get for a punyon, when four sa'ah go for a sela, there's two transactions that take place. In other words, the chenbani, I'll say the baker, he purchases his grain at the rate of four sa'ah for a sela. But then he has what do they call when you add on? He has, in other words, he increases the charge in order when he sells to the retailer. What is that called when you increase the charge? What? Yeah, the profit, but there's another word for it. Anyway, so he's gonna charge an additional amount because now he's taking the grain and he's baking it into bread. So he's not gonna give. So the punyon is not gonna give you as much bread as you thought before. So it comes out that a third is going to go for the chenvani. So it means of, let's say we said before that one punyon would get you half a kav, is what we said. We thought one punyon would get you half a kav, but it's not going to be half a kav because a third of that amount has to go for his profit. So it means that only two-thirds of that amount will remain for the purchaser, for the punyon. So the purchaser will get two-thirds of half a kav. So two-thirds of half a kav would be one-half by two-thirds is 2/6, right? So it's so. One second, please. When I need you, I'll let you know, okay? Just one second. Okay. So it's coming out not half a kav, but a third of the kav will be the two meals. So a third of the kav, so it means each meal will be 1/6 of a kav. 1/6 of a kav will be each meal, right? 1/6. So not a quarter kav for each meal, but 1/6 of a kav for each meal. So he's 1/6 of a kav, so for each meal, and now he's giving her two kavs, so now she's
still
got
missing
enough.
A day.
Okay, now she's got enough for 12 meals. Okay, please, I'll let you know when I need you, okay? Okay, so now she has enough for 12 meals. So the Gemara says, Hakanami, I can tilt a shadi alayhu. So the Gemara says, Akati tarts is three havin, but she's still left with only 12 meals. 12 meals is not enough to, it's enough to carry for 6 days, not enough to carry through 7 days. So the Gemara says, Ochlinim olalei Shabbat, but the Mishnah says that she'll eat with him on Friday nights. We figure that he's, you know, pulling his weight for Friday night meal. She says, Hanif lamadamar chidamamash. So that works well according to the opinion that says when he eats with her on Friday night, it's talking about eating a meal. But according to another opinion, which we didn't get to yet, but I mentioned it a couple of days ago, that it really means they're going to have intimacy on Friday night, not a meal. So he says, what are we going to do with that? But place her hagen. Even if I say he stakes her to the Friday night meal, but she still needs 13 meals, she only has 12 meals. We're almost through this. Elo tita amar Rav Chista. Rather, it's like Rav Chista says in a different location, and there's going to be stira in the statements for Rav Chista, the Gemara reconcile it. Same in Mechsa with Chanvani. Rav Chista says that the Chanvani, half his sale has to be profit. Not one third, but half. So it means that that you get half of what we thought for the punyon, it'll be one quarter of a kav per meal, but it's really one eighth you're getting for each meal. Because in other words, the what is it called again? I can't remember the profit margin. I don't know, it was some other word. Anyway, but the point is his profit is greater than that. So now it's coming out that it's before I said it was a quarter kav. Now it's an eighth of a kav. So he's getting an eighth of a kav. So an eighth of a kav. So if I have two kabim, I'm giving enough for 16 meals. So hakanami akipalga b'shadi alayu. So the Gemara says first, kashin rav chista rav chista. So I have a stira with two statements for rav chista. Is he increasing it by a third or a half? So lo kashin haba atrad yabitzivei. The third is in locality where the seller of the grain gives him more wood to cook with. In other words, that's part of the deal. So he doesn't have to have as big a price increase. If they don't give the grain the wood with it, then he goes up one half. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, he should start having," but then he's still left with 16 meals, and he only needs 14 meals. So the Gemara says, "Come on, Rabbi Chitka, please let's just wait." So the Gemara says, "According to whom is he going? He's going like Rabbi Chitka." The Amar Arbasudot Chayavadam Lechol B'Shabbat. So if you remember in Masechet Shabbat, it says in Parshas B'Shalach, "If Lu Ayom." So the word darshans, it says three hayoms by the man, so you have to three sudas b'shabbos. So Rechidka says, that's talking about the meals during the day. But in addition to which, you have to have the meal at night. According to Rechidka, you have to have four meals on Shabbos, not three meals on Shabbos. So if, please, everybody wait and listen. Okay, I'll pause in two lines. So if he's giving her enough meals, 16 meals during the week, so during the 6 days of the week, she's got 12 meals. And on Shabbos, you get four meals, it works out well, 16. So the Gemara says, Afilu Tema Rabbanan. You can even say that our Mishnah goes like the Chachamim, who say there's three meals on Shabbos. Dal Chada L'Archi Parchi. I could subtract one meal. In other words, the Chachamim say you only have three meals on Shabbos. So she's got 16 meals, only 15. But every time there's visitors, guests who come. So she doesn't have another meal for guests. So 16 meals. So it's interesting that that's what he's obligated to give. So the Gemara says, "Hashda atibahachi." Now you came on with that svara that he's supplying her for guests. A few came Reb Shimon. You can even say that our Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says he gives her 22 meals. The Rabbanan tal tlav archi uparchi. So I'm giving you 22 meals, right? That was according to Reb Shimon, right? Was it or 18? I'm sorry. Wait. Reb Shimon, where's Reb Shimon? Was 18? I'm saying. One second. 23, I'm sorry, yeah. Rav Shimon came out to 18 meals. So 18 meals, so I could say I'll take three off the top for the guests, and then I'm left with 15. Rabbi Chitka, Dal Tarki L'Archi Uparchi, and if Rabbi Chitka, I need 16 meals, she got 18, and two for the guests. So our Mishnah is reconcilable to either one of those opinions, and he's giving her a little bit more extra for the guests. Okay, I have 30 seconds for questions, then I got to move on. What's up? What was the one urgent that everybody had to break in? Look at that. You waited and the Gemara got to it. Can you get over that? Look at that. You waited till the end of the sukkah and the Gemara got to it. Okay, what's the next?
Don't some people say that Erev Shabbat people don't eat a meal to have more appetite?
Okay. Let me leave it. Okay, let me go further than Gemara. Okay, now we're four lines from the bottom. Now, Amar Rabbi Yossi, L'pasak Se'orim L'chulin. So there was this line in the Mishnah which we didn't know what it meant, but I told you already. So if he can't give wheat, he gives barley, but he gives twice as much barley as the wheat. So then Rabbi Yossi said that's only for Rabbi Shmuel, who's Samach L'Edom. So the Gemara says, Ela be'Edom hu da'achin sorim b'chuliyam l'wachli. Does it mean that only in Edom you can give her barley, nobody else will eat barley? So the Gemara says, Haki Kamar. This is what the Mishnah means. L'pasak sorim k'flayim b'chitim. The Tana, when he specified twice as much barley as wheat, that's Ela Rabbi Shmuel sh'as Samach L'Edom. That's for Rabbi Shmuel, who lived near Edom. And they should sort of Adomia roting. They have very inferior barley. So therefore, you need twice as much to have an equivalence with the wheat, maybe value, whatever. But in other places, it wouldn't have to be twice as much, but you have to do the equivalence differently. Okay, let me wrap it up. He has to give her a half a cob of kidney or legumes. But the Mishnah doesn't say about giving her any wine. This supports Reb Lazar. The Amar Reb Lazar, we don't allocate wine for a woman. And Rashi says, the wine like gets her off in the wrong direction. So we don't give her wine. You know, I don't have time, but let's say now. Bim Tomar, but what about the Pasuk in Hosea? Pasuk in Hosea says, El Chach Rei Mahavai, it's talking about a woman like a harlot, but I'm going after my lovers. No, Nelach Niamai, they give me my bread, my water, Samriyu Pishti, my wool and linen, Shamni Vishikuyai, my oil, and Shikuyai, my drinks. We think it means like the wine, but it means that this is what a woman needs, even though she's a zona, but she needs it. So Dvarim Sha'isha Mishnah Tekel Aleihem, things that a woman desires, in other words, shikuyai doesn't mean drinks. You think shikuyai means drinks. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean like for mashke. Shikuyai doesn't mean mashke. It means things that the woman yearns for, which are tashitim, or adornments. That's a zero. Darash, Rabbi Yehuda Ishkvar Nibiraya, Ba'amila Ishkvar Nafod Hel. Minayashim Poskin Yelisha, how do I know that I don't give wine to a woman or allocate for her? Shneemar, Batakam Fanak Re Aklabishivo. That Chana, it's interesting, this is the Haftorah we have on Rosh Hashanah. That Chana got up after Achla b'shilo, she ate in shilo, v'acharei shato. Shato v'lo shatat. The Gemara takes it, the Pasuk means that Chana did the eating and Elkanah did the drinking of the wine. He says, Elamiata Achla v'lo achal, hachanami. So what about, it says Achla, she ate, he didn't eat. He says, Anan, the diak is, the pasuk is talking about Chana. No, it's describing her Chana. So it makes sense. Akla, she ate. He says, Nichni begabaka asi ba'ati. My tamashani, why does it suddenly shift over when it comes to drinking? Al-Kana, Shwamina, Shatabalo Shatat. When it came to drinking, he was the one who was doing the drinking. Okay, I think it's going to be tonight. Let me just end the recording and then I'll speak first.